Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
If y'all want to turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 26. Praise God. And somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. And the scripture says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Tonight, I want to preach and teach on this topic, a servant of the King. Servant of the King. Pastor, would you mind praying for us? Amen, amen, amen. Y'all may be seated. Ooh. Praise God. In biblical times and medieval times, the court of the palace was referred as the king's throne room. It's actually synonymous. In the throne room, that's where matters of state were held. That's where council meetings, audiences were granted, awards, rewards, and promotions were given. And that's where worship was held as well. And what I really want to touch on tonight concerning the king's court is the kingship of Jesus and servants of the king's court. As men and women, we tend to bring our business, our petitions, our requests to the king without realizing who we're bringing them to. So ask yourself this question. Do you know who the king is? Do you know who the king is? For one, his name is Jesus. He's also our father, our friend, but ultimately we forget that Jesus is a king. He sits on a throne. And if he sits on the throne, then he has a court where he has the ultimate authority and the final say in every matter. Scripture backs up this claim. Psalms 47 and 2, for the Lord is most high, for the Lord most high is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in Revelation 19 and 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And you go down to verse 16 in Revelation 19. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's so many other scriptures that we can look for that claim that Jesus Christ is King. Demons tremble to the name Jesus. Why? Because he is the king. So when you pray to the king, how come that you approach the king with no confidence? The king who has the final word and has sovereignty over all the earth has the final say. And when his word clearly says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Do you know who you're approaching when you pray? You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to be afraid. And you don't have to worry about the outcome because the king has everything under control. He does. Some of us have a problem going to the king because how we look at ourselves. And we question our identity with preconceived beliefs that Jesus, the king, looks at us the same way we look at ourselves. When you go to Jesus in prayer, have the confidence that you have been reborn by his blood with water baptism and by his spirit, and that you are no longer the old you because you have been made new. So because of that, you can go to the king in boldness and confidence with any circumstance, any situation, that when I get into the king's presence, something is about to change. Praise God. God isn't some guy named Carl that you can talk to your problems with. You can call Carl, but you may or may not see him today or tomorrow. Praise God. But when you come to the King of Kings, you can be sure that he can change any matter. You can be sure that he can change any situation. If you don't believe, then why go to him at all? Why go to him? If you don't have faith, then don't pray, because you're wasting your words. Because if you don't have faith mixed in with your belief, then you will not find what you're looking for. All right. So how many of us believe that Jesus is the King? How many of us believe that Jesus is the Lord? How many of us have faith that because he reigns sovereign over all the earth and over our lives and over the cosmos, he can do anything. He can do anything. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to talk about Job for a moment. So when you read the story of Job, it talks about how Satan met with God, and they talked about Job. God allowed Satan to act with the legal right to take Job's possessions, family, property, and afflict his body because of a deep pride in Job's heart, which he admits in Scripture. If Job didn't have this pride in the belief that he was sinless in his heart, the Lord would probably never allow Satan to mess with Job. But I thank God for the Scripture, because it even teaches us that good and upright men need to repent of their sins. But we serve a just God, and he is gracious to forgive us, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. After all that was made right, Job was blessed more in the latter than in the former, and he still was a servant to the king. Praise God. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, it says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." We always need a Savior to help us cleanse our sins. Praise God. If we didn't have Jesus Christ, what would your perception of doing good be? As humans, our preconceived idea of good can be twisted, it can be corrupted, it can be manipulated by our environment, by people, by our situations, by our circumstances, and by material things. So that to tie that into even today's time, we have good things that God established being called evil, and we have evil things that Satan's twisted being called good. So you have to know that man cannot do good things without Jesus. We need Jesus. We do. We have to have Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for God. There was times where I would try to handle situations by myself, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it, and I couldn't fix it. But I needed a king to teach me. I needed the counsel of the king. I needed the wisdom of the king. I needed his ways, because his ways are higher than mine. We're going to FaceTime We're going to face times where we need a king. There are going to be battles that you have to face where you realize that you need a king. You need his kingship. You need his authority. And you need his covering. And one thing we do need to understand is that the devil hates us and he wants to destroy us. So he'll accuse you of your mistakes and your past mistakes and the mistakes of your family members so he can have a legal right to attack you. But God has the final say and the final authority. And the important thing for us to realize is the devil is a liar. He is a liar. And he's the father of it. And Jesus is what we need for our sins to be cleansed. We need the blood of Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. Because of the blood of Jesus, you're not who you used to be. Because the blood of pure royalty that cleansed me, I'm not tied to that old man anymore. I've been made new. I've been made new. You have been made new. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and made you brand new? Because we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are servants of the King. We are servants of the King. We don't have to be forced to be slaves to sin. You have the choice to be bought by the blood and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have a way of escape. You have a way of escape. The office of Godhood gives Jesus the ultimate power and authority over the cosmos, the natural, and the supernatural. The office of kingship gives him the authority over his kingdom, people, subjects, and servants, and kingdom resources. There's another office that is so important to our day and time, especially for 2024 and beyond. And that is the office of a servant. The office of a servant. Now, the office of a servant cannot truly be performed without this key. And God literally shows us in Scripture, in order to be the servant you're called to be, you can truly serve God and each other with the key of love. You need love. Love is the key ingredient to serve, truly serve. We have to have love. And Jesus demonstrates these three offices perfectly throughout Scripture, and especially in the office of a servant. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to death unto the cross. Wherefore also hath he should... Oh, praise God, I lost some space. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of the things of heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A servant volunteers himself to serve. And like I said, you can't truly serve others without love. And God demonstrates that when he denied himself and put himself on the cross to die for our sins. So the office of a servant is the power and authority to serve others than yourself. But to unlock that power, love has to be the key. Love has to be the source. When you serve with love as a servant, God promotes you from servant to a king. You can see this plainly in the story of Joseph. Samuel served the prophet Eli with love and became one of the most renowned prophets in David's time. And you can see that in David. David served as a shepherd before he became a king to the nation. Region, I want you to know this. Because of your willingness and love to serve God and his people, you're going to be able to do great things and greater in the kingdom of God. There are some missionaries in this room. There are some preachers in this room. There are some teachers in this room. There's some prophets in this room. There are apostles in this room. God has given you the ability. You have the ability. You have the ability. Let love be your power to serve. Let love be your power to serve. Praise God. Jesus, just have your way in this place. Jesus, Jesus. Everybody lift their hands in this place. Lord, help us to answer the call, Lord Jesus. Jesus, 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 hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. A servant is the highest calling you can have. A servant is the highest calling. Praise God. Let's all stand together. I know my sermon was short, but I want us to answer that call to servanthood. Answer that call to serve. I know there's some people in this room, they feel like, do I have what it takes? Do I have the ability? Do I have the guts? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It is in you. Do not let your idea of how you look at yourself keep you from serving God. When the Lord called Gideon, Gideon was hiding, y'all. Gideon was hiding. But the Lord called him a man of valor. He called him a man of valor. David was a shepherd, but Samuel anointed him as king. Joseph was thrown in a pit, but he became second in command to Pharaoh. You may feel like, oh, all I can do is clean a toilet. All I can do is sweep this floor. All I can do is sing in the choir. All I can do is just worship the Lord and pray for people. Everybody starts somewhere. Somebody told me. Now, this is when I really needed this. It's not who you are now, but it's who you're yet to become. Who are you yet to become? There is more for you. There's so much more for you. But you have to believe it for yourself. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. God needs somebody to step up and step out. Step up and step out. I'm here to tell you that I'm here to step out. And I want some harvesters, some laborers to join us. We're here to further the kingdom of God. And he just wants a servant. He wants the love of a servant. Because the power of love can change anything. Can change anything. These altars are open. Won't you answer the call to servanthood? You may feel like that God's done with you, but he's not done with you. He's not done with you. There's more for you to do. There's so much more for you to do. He wants you to be available. And all you have to do is free yourself and say, God, here I am, Lord. Here I am, O Lord. I'm here to serve, and I'm answering the call. I'm answering the call. Region, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.